How many of you wash dishes by hand? Okay, how many of you are dishwasher people? Okay, this is surprising to me. I'm a dishwasher kind of person, and with the dishwasher person, even when we have smoothies, right, you put it all the good fruit and everything in the blender, you drink it, you put it in the dishwasher, and if you don't rinse your cup out, it kind of gets caked on, especially if you don't leave it, turn your dishwasher on for a while. And if you're like me, you extra load the dishwasher so that you're efficient and you can put everything in and you don't have to wash anything by hand. But then, of course, none of the water goes up into that cup. And it just gets messier and messier. And it cakes on, it gets dried, and it's just a mess. So that's when you need to get out your dishes and you need to start washing by hand. Or just throw it back in the dishwasher and hope it does better again the next time, right? Now, Jesus was talking to a group of religious leaders, and he says, our lives are kind of like the cup, right? And he was talking to these people, and he was giving them some harsh words in Matthew chapter 23. And he says to them, he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Because you're cleaning the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside, you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean also. So as Jesus is talking about these guys, he's saying, you're spending all your time and your energy, you're polishing up your lives, you're making all your appearances look good, you're spending time so that everybody looks at you and says, wow, that guy's got his act together, and you've got your squeaky clean life, and everything is just fine. But when you actually look at their lives and what it's like on the inside, it's not so pretty, right? And he's saying, why do you spend all your time focusing on the outside when the inside of you, it's full of greed, it's full of self-indulgence, it's full of lust, it's full of pride, it's just full of self. And so Jesus is instructing these guys, and he's saying, how come you're all messy? He's saying, how come you're spending all this time and energy on appearances, on trying to make your life look right, when inside, it's just a mess? And it makes sense to me that you would spend time cleaning up the inside of your life. Like all of us would be like, yeah, if the insides are good, then it'll just flow out of us. That's what our whole series this winter is, root to fruit. Wherever you're rooted in is going to produce fruit. So we want to focus in on the inside of our lives to be strong and healthy and full of life so that we'll produce fruit on the outside of our lives. So why is it that these guys are just focused on the outside? I speculate because it's a lot easier. Right? If we just focus on the outside of the cup and making it all clean, we have a sense of control there, don't we? I can control some of my habits and behaviors. I can control how you view me and how I appear. We have a sense of control. But the inside of the cup, how do we get rid of our selfishness and our pride and our greed? How do we clean our own hearts? We can't, can we? We can do a lot of things and a lot of self-betterment on the outside, but on the inside, the changes that need to be made, that's really God's job, to change us from the inside out. And so that's why coming to Jesus and submitting to Him is what He calls us to do. But it's much easier for us to take control of our lives and to say, I'm going to focus on change, I'm going to focus on my behaviors, rather than a letting go and a submitting, because it feels like we have a sense of control there. So in Matthew 23, Jesus is saying, wash dishes God's way. Don't focus just on the outside of your life and just your behaviors. Allow God to do a work in your hearts to change who you are on the inside. That's doing dishes God's way. Now, Matthew chapter 12 is another verse that Jesus speaks about in the change that needs to take place. And it says, he's speaking and he says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. And you, he's accusing these religious leaders again, he says, you brood of vipers, How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Did you get that? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Other translations say, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of what is stored up in him. And so today we're talking about change on the inside, and as we talk about change on the inside, I want each one of us to take a little look inside and think, what's inside of me? What am I made out of? Is it the good that's coming out, or is it dirty and messy and broken? Sometimes it's hard to answer that question, right? How do we take a good look at what we're like inside? Often, we can fool others, and we can put on a good face. We can even fool ourselves and make ourselves think everything is just fine. There's an illustration, I can't remember if I've told it before, but it's about a water tank. So when my family and I were living in Tanzania, we had one of our places, we only had rainwater. There was no pipe water coming into the village, and so we had our corrugated iron roof and all the gutters, and it all came together into this huge, big rain barrel. Now, at first, I was confused by the rain barrel because they put the nozzle for the tap a good 6-8 inches above the bottom, and I'm thinking, all that wasted water that you can never access. But after a while, I learned why they raise the tap up, because everything that's on the roof goes into the rain barrel, right? All the dust. It rains, it washes down, and goes into the tank. All of the leaves, it washes down, and it goes into the tank, and it settles to the bottom. And if it's settled to the bottom, it's not coming out of the tap, right? The water's clear. Clean is relative. You still got to clean it afterwards. It wasn't just the dust and the leaves that settled in. The lizards would be running around on the roof, and they'd die, and they'd be in the gutters, and they'd get washed into the rain barrel. Cockroaches. Lots of cockroaches. They'd be sunk down to the bottom as well. And the scorpions. I didn't like the scorpions. Often 3 a.m, I'd hear smack, smack. And there'd be my wife out there with a flashlight and her flip-flop getting the scorpions off of the walls. There was another bug. We called it the devil bug. I don't really know what it's called, but it's the centipede. And it just the way it moves, just so erratic, is flat. It was ugly, it was red, it was super erratic, and it was just scary looking. And they said its sting was worse than the scorpion's sting. And it's true, because you're always supposed to wear your flip-flops at night. But one night I didn't, because, well, I'm just going to get a drink. I step on the scorpion, it stings my big toe, and ouch, that hurts. Somehow one of these centipedes made it through our mosquito net in the middle of the night. What's that? Boom, it got me on the shoulder. Yeah, it's way worse than the scorpion. These guys all make it to the bottom of the rain barrel, and as long as it's settled, as long as the water isn't stirred, the water's coming out clear. But what happens after a good rain and everything gets mixed up? All the gunk comes out. What happens when the kids get in there and mess things up? Everything gets stirred, and all the gunk comes out. And in our own lives, we're pretty good at letting things settle to the bottom, and we can put on a pretty good face, and everything seems okay. But what happens when life gets stirred up? Everything on the inside comes out. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here when he says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And often, if life is just going along fine and everything's well, the mouth can speak great things. Stir life up a little bit, and we're surprised at what comes out of our mouths, and we're surprised at the behaviors that we have, don't we? And we often excuse it. We often are like, well, really, it's just because I was tired. That's why I was saying those things. Really, I was hungry and my blood sugar levels were off a little bit. And so that rationalizes why that was coming out of me. Or the stress, it was mounting because when it rains, it pours. And all these things that are happening and the stress is just overwhelming. And that's why if I could just get life under control again, everything will settle to the bottom. And I'll be okay. Except for it's still there, isn't it? And as we talked about a number of weeks ago, we were talking about the world view. And how really how we view the world is coming from how we diagnose the problem and the solution that we attach to it. And if we simply diagnose the problem as, I was tired and my blood sugar levels are off, what is the solution? What's the cure? Who is the Savior? Make sure you're well rested, fed, life levels of stress are just kept to a minimal, and then everything will be okay. That's like cleaning the outside of the cup. I can manage all of these things and I can make it okay until everything gets stirred up and we see what's really on the inside. When we see what's really on the inside is when life gets stirred up. And that's why, as you spend time in community, you rub each other wrong a little bit and you see what's on the inside. You spend time serving and giving and loving and sacrificing. It all gets stirred up on the inside because it gets messy. What is it that comes out? Is it the good? Is it the bad? And I think if we're honest, each one of us needs a bit of a cleaning on the inside, right? Each one of us. And when I look at people, it's almost like there's this dilemma because we're made in the image of God and there's so much good. But as we talked a couple of weeks ago where we had the mirror and we're made in the image of God, but sin comes and it breaks the mirror and our lives are shattered and there's broken. There's this mix between, yes, there's good, but it's all mixed up with the broken and the sin. And so when we diagnose the problem, we want to go deeper than just the surface of what's on the outside and look inside. And if we recognize and if we're honest with ourselves, we'll see that inside there are evil desires. There are sin. And it can't take just Band-Aid solutions. We need a cure on the inside. And so Jesus is saying there's a better way. There's a better way than just cleaning the outside of the cup. So our question is, how do you clean the heart? Right? How do you get in and clean the heart? And through this sermon series on Root to Fruit, we talked about the diagnosis and cure of what is the actual issue that we need and who can be the Savior for that. And then we looked at the gospel purpose. Why did Jesus come to forgive us of our sin and adopt us into his family? Ultimately, so that we could all see and recognize what is true beauty and what is best and know God himself. And then the power. We spoke about the power that comes as Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. How that takes away the penalty of sin, removing your guilt. Because we're all broken and we're all guilty. And when Jesus removes that penalty by his work on the cross, it sets us free. And then that allows us to change. And the work that Jesus did on the cross on our behalf is filling us with his righteousness. Today I want to spend a little bit of time and look at the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, Jesus, before he left this earth, before he was crucified, he sat down with his followers and he wanted to make it crystal clear. And he told them, I'm going to go back to my Father in heaven, but I won't leave you as orphans. Because you need a power in your life. You need a counselor and a teacher and a guide to lead you through life. So after Jesus was risen from the dead, he says, wait, the Holy Spirit's coming. And Jesus rose to heaven, and a short time later, the Holy Spirit came on the followers of Jesus. And as he came on the followers of Jesus, all of those whose sins are forgiven, who've been adopted into God's family, he is the source of life and power. Now, we've established that the heart is the source of our behavior. Now, since the heart is the source of our behavior, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to be changing us. We know that Jesus has forgiven us, he's given us new and clean hearts, and yet there's still this brokenness that's involved in our lives. We still have the temptations of this world. We still have the evil desires within us. Since it all comes out of the heart, what is it that we need to focus our change on? The heart. So allow the Holy Spirit to change us. And the first way we want to see the Holy Spirit change us is, since the heart is the source of our behavior, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to Jesus. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 16, it says this. Paul is writing and he says, God gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, as I preach and proclaim all about Jesus and the good news of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's doing something. The Holy Spirit is at work and bringing about a sanctification in your lives. And as we look at the role of the Holy Spirit, I don't even know if that word role is right. Because it's not like, well, I'm one of the players and there's a bunch of different things here and the Holy Spirit's kind of one of the participants. No, the Holy Spirit comes into the followers of Jesus and is actually God with us. God's power, God Himself living in you as a follower of Jesus. And so He's more than just kind of a role to play. He is our source of life and power. And as in Romans 15, 16, it says, as Paul is proclaiming the good news of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's sanctifying you. And every time Jesus is preached, the Holy Spirit's moving and acting and working in our lives. And as the Holy Spirit works and acts, what does He do? He leads us to Jesus and the good news of what Jesus did and accomplished for us on the cross. And so there's this ongoing, Jesus is being proclaimed and the Spirit is working. And as the Spirit works, He's leading us to Jesus. And as He leads us to Jesus, the cross works and changes our lives. And what is the work that the Holy Spirit's doing? It says that He is sanctifying us. The word sanctifying, great big word, meaning set apart. So set the dirty dishes over here and the clean dishes over here. He's setting us apart. He's saying, here's all the worldliness in you, all of the greed and selfishness in you. He wants to set us apart for a holiness, a right living, a good fruit being produced in our lives. If we want change, we must have the Holy Spirit. To have the Holy Spirit, we must have Jesus in our life, a new life and a forgiveness of sin. So the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus, and He sanctifies us, and He sets us apart for His good works. Another role of the Holy Spirit is to keep us from avoiding, is to keep us avoiding the flesh, to stay away from all of what they call in the Bible flesh, the flesh being everything that's opposed to God. So in Galatians 5, 16 to 25, I'm going to read this passage, and it's talking about this contrast between God's ways and how His Spirit is leading, and between the brokenness and the dirt in our own lives and our own heart. So He says in Galatians 5, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. Against those things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit of God leads us in a different direction than the evil desires in our own hearts. And so the Spirit of God helps us to stay away from and to avoid the flesh. And because we're called to walk in the Spirit and to follow the Spirit in these ways of life, that means we don't just ignore all of the desires and the selfishness within ourselves. We don't just pretend it's not there and hide it. Yesterday at men's breakfast, they're talking about a vulnerability and an openness where, yeah, when we've done wrong, our goal isn't just in shame just to hide it and pretend, no, everything's fine. We're allowed to be exposed, and that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. A few years ago, we put a new carpet in our room, just the shape of the room. We had to put a seam in the carpet. So I cut the carpet all nice, and I've got my two sections, and there's this gooey tape stuff and this special iron where you iron the glue to heat it up, and you pat the carpet into it nice and strong. And I wanted to make sure the seam was really strong, so I'm just pushing into the glue. And then I get right into the edge, and I push it in, and I end up pushing all the carpet right into the glue. And I step back and I'm like, oh, shoot. That seam is there and it's visible. And I picked for hours trying to get it. No can do. Brand new carpet, straight seam right across that little corner section. So, of course, my parents come to visit it a while later, and they're like, oh, you did your carpet, let's see. I open the door, and I kind of stand on the seam, and just like a good magician always distracts people, he's like, look at the carpet over there, right? They probably saw exactly what I was doing. When we see what's on the inside, we don't like it. And when we don't like it, what do? Bury it, hide it, pretend it's not there, excuse it, right? Blame somebody else. But when the Holy Spirit is in our lives, teaching us to change, keeping us from the evil so that we don't walk in those evil ways, there's a great difference that takes place. Where normally we're like, I feel shame. But when we know there's a forgiveness and a newness of life and a hope for change, it allows us to live out in the open. Ephesians 5, verse 11 to 18 says something similar. It says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that's illuminated becomes light. And that's why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. As our lives are exposed, we don't like it. We don't like it because everybody can see what we're like on the inside. But if the light of Jesus shines into us, and Jesus, what he did on the cross was a substitute. He says, I'll trade you. I'll take your dirtiness for my perfection. And we'll make a swap. And as we make a swap, Jesus cleanses us. He heals us. He purifies us. And so, because he purifies us, we're called to avoid evil. And when we're called to avoid evil, we say, oh, I'm gonna clean my life. But if we're cleaning our life just in filth, and we're cleaning our life just in dirtiness, and we stay saying, well, God looks at the heart anyway, so I can keep going to that place where sin abounds. And I can keep spending time in this place that tempts me and brings me down. Isn't that a little counterproductive? We're to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit means let's avoid the temptations and all that brings us down. Now, of course, there are temptations in this world, and there's temptations coming from within. We can't just avoid life. That's why Jesus prays, God, don't take them out of this world, but protect them while they're in this world. And so we're to avoid the evil, but that's not all. Jesus wants to fill us with his love through the Holy Spirit. And so since the heart is the source of our behavior, we're to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with love. And that's where Romans 5, verse 3 to 5 comes in. It says, not only so, we glory in our sufferings. So he's saying, even when sufferings come and our life gets stirred up and all the stress and everything, he says, that's okay, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So in our hard times, in our suffering, and as God fills us with hope, what does he do? The Holy Spirit comes and he fills us with God's love. He fills us with God's love. So if God's love is poured out into your heart, and then life gets stirred up, what's going to come out? God's love. If his love is in your heart, love will come out. If you're rooted in God's love, what will the fruit be? Love. If everything at the bottom of your tank is replaced and God's love through the Holy Spirit fills up your tank and the water gets stirred up, what comes out? His love. Some of you are thinking impossible. because when I get stirred up, I know exactly what comes out, right? I'm there. I see it far too often in my own life, and sometimes I'm like, is it even realistic? And yet, if the Holy Spirit fills us with God's love, and the Holy Spirit is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and He's living in you and I, that's what He fills us with. So on our own, we can't. On our own, we can scrub the outside of the dish, and we can work at making it clean and nice, and we can spend all our time and energy and betterment and self-help. But the inside, we can't do it. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. We don't have the power. We want to have the control, but this comes to a relinquishing, a submitting, saying, I have nothing except God's power in my life to change me. So this week, our challenge is, let's wash the dishes. Let's wash it God's way. Not literally. You can just leave them on your counter. I'm sure someone else will take care of it. But figuratively, let's spend time looking inside. Let's spend some time scrubbing around in our own lives and seeing what's in that heart of mine. And as we look, as we slow down and we take a good scrubbing of our heart, we normally don't like that. It becomes uncomfortable. We don't like what we see. We don't like what is there. But allow God's love to come and to change you, to purify you, to set you free, where the Spirit will lead you to Jesus for forgiveness. And as you rely on the Spirit, He will teach you and walk with you and empower you to avoid the flesh and to walk in His ways and to be filled with His love. The Holy Spirit will change you from the inside out, to clean the inside of your life so that the overflow will be a fruit that's pleasing to God. So let's do dishes God's way this week and see our insides being changed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the work that you do. Just think of my own life and how powerless I am to make the changes of the heart. So I'm so grateful and dependent on what Jesus has done and on the role the Holy Spirit plays living in me as I walk in Him. Lead us as your people, Lord. Change us on the inside. Amen.